You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Today is a very special day here at DCC, one that has been in the making for some time. If you are a Florida basketball fan, then when I say this name, you are going to know him because we fell in love. Gator Nation fell in love with this guy. And I'm going to let him tell the story. I'm going to let him talk to you about it. But would you put your hands together and welcome Gator Great Patrick Young.
That was pretty cool. Great job, Caleb. How's everyone doing today? It is such an honor and pleasure for me to be here. Not only because I've been through a little bit of a roughie these last 2 years, but any chance that the Lord is allowing me to come and speak and share my testimony, my witness, the things that have brought me to the place that I am now. I'm just so eternally grateful for it. On my way here this morning, I was listening to the message from last week when PR was talking about critical thinking and being encouraging to one another. And I just pray that I'm an encouragement today for everyone in this room, that somebody is impacted. And the first thing I really want to do is I want to thank you all so much. These last 2 years have been some of the most difficult that I've faced in my life. And for your prayers, for your thoughts, for your concerns, for just all the support, even from afar, even though we may not have a personal relationship with one another, I just say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, because there were times, and we're going to get into it, where I just didn't know where to turn other than to God and just note that he's doing something. I couldn't see it, I couldn't feel it, but I knew that he was doing something around me. There was a purpose behind what the season I was experiencing. So I have a few things. I was trying to think of the direction I wanted to start with diving in, and to keep it, because I know people will have these thoughts. I'm going to give you two basketball stories. Two. That's all you get. You're going to have to pay more for another one, but I got two good ones. So I remember this. This is one of my favorite stories when I think about my time with the Florida Gators. We were coming into our senior season. You know, we were a team. There was a narrative around our team at this time. We could go to the Elite Eight. We always had good teams under Coach Donovan. We just couldn't get through that threshold and make it to a Final Four. We got blown out by Michigan in the Elite Eight game of my junior year. Just don't know what happened. We got blown out after having a great year. And coming into the next season, as you can expect, we had a really good defense. We had a really good team. We brought back the core, something that is so rare to see nowadays because of the transfer portal and NIL. We had four guys that started at the same time and stayed together all the way through. So we grew and developed. We had this great bond with one another, and we saw the potential that we had for ourselves this last year that we had at the University of Florida. But as you can imagine, human nature kicks in at certain points, where just because you were successful at something in the past and did it well, that you might think you don't have to work as hard to reach that level again or to even maintain it. And I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, but this applies to so many things in our lives. Success is rented, and rent is due every day. Rent is due every single day. And I guarantee you this, even if you pay the rent, it's not a guarantee that you're going to be successful to the same way. But I guarantee you this, if you don't even pay what is due, there's no chance. So in that season, The season that we would end up going 18-0 and make it to the Final Four, win our first SEC tournament championship, beat Kentucky three times. You know, you always got to be, you know, talk about that. That's always a great thing. Love seeing them do terrible. Love it. I just love it. I just can't get enough whenever they lose to anybody. Like, goodness, they could lose to the Lakers and they had no chance. I still am going to just celebrate it. So in that, coming into that season, as I said, we had this kind of little bit of pride or a chip on our shoulder. Oh, we're just going to walk into being a great defensive team. We had a scrimmage in the preseason against Georgia Tech. They were not a good team. But for some reason, when we went to play this scrimmage, Georgia Tech was neck and neck with us. They were competing right alongside our level, even though they weren't on our level. This is just factual. They didn't have great talent. They didn't have great players. They didn't have the experience and the togetherness in which we had. And Coach Donovan, in his wisdom, said this to us. He said, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter. Going back to that, success is rented. You have to lay the brick, the foundation of who you want to be every single day as a team. And he's like, I really appreciate this about him. He said, we don't have to practice 2.5 hours every day to get better. Like, you guys come in here with intention and energy and focus, we'll be out of here in an hour and some change, like hour and 15 minutes. But we did this same drill to start practice off every single day. Every single day, the same foundational drill. It got so mundane. And he said, you can't get tired of the fundamentals. We're not doing this till we can't get it wrong. We're doing this till we get it right. He said, we're doing this till we can't get it wrong. Like, this is going to be a part of our second nature. It was just like this drill where there was a dribble handoff and our rotations and there's communication. It wasn't long, but it's just like, really, can we just get to the good part of practice, right? You know, where we're competing and doing other things. The irony behind it and why I love this story so much, because again, this was a historic season that I had with the Florida Gators, who went 18-0, first team to ever do that in the SEC. We went 100 and something days without losing a game. We made it to the Final Four. We won our SEC tournament championship game. But in that SEC tournament championship game against Kentucky, something we had never done before as a senior class was win that tournament championship game. This was the best Kentucky had played us in that season. The score was 60-61 with about 4 or 5 seconds left in the game. They had the last possession. God knows, God's so funny sometimes, right? How he makes things go full circle. Kentucky ends up running the same exact set that we had been practicing through that drill the entire year. We stop the play, we steal the ball, we celebrate. And I don't know what that thing in your life is that you have a deep aspiration for, and maybe you've had success in the past doing, but nothing is guaranteed. Even if you work your butt off for it, it's really hard to get to those levels of greatness that we strive to achieve. And opportunity often doesn't look the way that we want it to. Sometimes we want opportunity to look like a specific way. Anybody know why we end up getting frustrated? It's a formula. I'll be so happy if somebody can answer this. It's this plus this equals frustration, disappointment. Anybody got any guesses? Nobody. So we just don't know. We get mad and we don't know why we're mad. We might need to hire some therapists here to figure some things out. Okay. So from my understanding, hope you can connect the dots here. I was a McDonald's All-American. I was a highly touted recruit with a lot of expectations on who I could become as a basketball player. Great intentions behind those things. It is awesome to get that level of encouragement of someone prophesying to an extent, I see there's greatness within you, but don't let that get in the way of what needs to be done to get there, right? I had unrealistic expectations on myself and an unmet reality. Unrealistic expectations and an unmet reality. They met each other, and I was so frustrated. Didn't know how to handle it, didn't know how to healthily find an outlet to communicate what I was going through and to get better. It was so bad. It's in the book that I wrote today, that I wrote and brought for you all to read. Coach Donovan, you know, I was all SEC. I was a three-time Scholar Athlete of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, many other things I was fortunate to be a part of at the University of Florida, but almost all of those things never happened because my freshman year, because of myself and my pride, I was in the way of, for some reason, I thought I was going to tell two-time national championship coach Billy Donovan how he should coach. Do you think that went well? Oh, man. Literally, he had to bring me in the office and say, Patrick, I love you. And I love this about Coach Donovan. And I love this about having these type of relationships where a person can be real with you because you know they love you and they care for you, but they don't sugarcoat it. They are direct because they know you need to hear the truth. They know that you are hindering yourself. There is something blocking you. Do you have those people in your life that can point out to, hey, man, you're a little prideful right now. You got things that are holding you back. It's not criticism in the way of, and again, from what Pastor Rocky said last week, has this person been an encourager? Have they put deposits into your life before they just are trying to withdraw? Therefore, that way, because we need to know people care before we're going to care about what they know certain times, right? It's sometimes really off-putting when someone's just trying to tell you something. And you're like, who are you? I don't know you from Adam. And you're trying to tell me my kick rocks, right? But Coach Donovan said, I love you and I want you to be here. But if you're not going to allow me to coach you, then you may need to think about transferring. And it was that wake-up call, that sobering thought, that sobering statement that I just said, that's not what I want. I want to be a part of this team. I want to do whatever it takes. I realized that pride was really in my way. And speaking of pride, I remember I listened to this sermon one day. It's from this church in Dallas called The Porch. And this is so funny. This is, y'all are gonna laugh. So I listened to, they had this series called The Seven Deadly Sins, just put a twist on something. And one of the sermons was on pride. And the pastor made a good point about it. He's like, if I came up here and said, hey guys, I'm really struggling with lying or lust or something, it'd be more of a heart pull, I think, in terms of people being immediately impacted by that. But if I came up here and said, oh, I'm just struggling with a little bit of pride, when the Lord reveals in Scripture, he absolutely hates pride. He hates us to think that we are self-sufficient without him, that we created ourselves, that we are greater than what we are. So I listened to this sermon, and it's quite convicting, right? You guys have felt that before, that you listen to a message or a sermon, you're like, okay, like, ooh, I need to go do something. I'm gonna go ask my sister if I'm prideful. My sister, she pulled out a phone book about 20 times thicker than that and listed about everything that I was prideful in and ran off the list. It was unbelievable. She was like, I was like, hey, Sarah, am I prideful? Actually, yes, you are very prideful. Here, 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 here. And of course, it was a difficult pill to swallow at first, but you just don't realize how we can affect us in a way to, and how pride blocks us. It blocks us from connection. It blocks us from learning. It blocks us from breakthrough. It blocks us from opportunity because we think we got it. We think we don't need help. We think we are good on our own. Blocks us from a chance to allow people to serve and help us from being vulnerable. So after, I want to dive in real quick to these last 2 years that I faced. So June 29th of 2022, life was changed forever. I was preparing for marriage at that time. I was up in O'Neill, Nebraska, a place that I'm sure nobody in here knows of. Anybody heard of O'Neill, Nebraska? Hey, we got two. We got two. That's awesome. So I was up there with my wife, and it was a little boring town. Love the town, but, you know, not much to do, small town. And I was working, doing some irrigation work. On that day, it's just another mundane, normal day for me. I was enjoying the work I was doing. This is well past my basketball career as a professional. Ready for this next chapter of life. I'm anticipating it. I can't wait. You know, it's always exciting when you're thinking about the next chapter of life and thinking about marriage, thinking about having kids. And on the way back from on the job that day, I'm heading back to the site to grab one last piece for this huge irrigation pivot. I'm not sure if a lot of people know what those are. They're pretty much like giant sprinklers. They're really long, with like 175 feet each piece is. When you put it together, it's way longer than that. But I was going up the road about a mile or two, casual in my mind, just kind of taking life for granted in this moment, and didn't have my seatbelt on. And just before I knew it, as I'm driving back, I realized I'm going too fast for this approaching stop sign. Well, the stop sign wasn't approaching. I was approaching the stop sign. My first thought was to get out of the way and hope that there was no vehicles coming as I was going to intersect the highway. My car goes completely parallel to the road, and the momentum continues and takes it off the road altogether in one turn. Flips over, and immediately I felt a pop in my back and knew something was wrong. This doesn't happen to me. Y'all just saw the video. I'm Patrick Young. What? This isn't fair. All right, God, let's hit the reset button. You messed up, right? I'm not supposed to be in this spot, so let's go back and fix this. Wouldn't it be so nice if we could do something like that? But I realized in that moment, my life was forever to be changed. And it is the craziest thing. It is the craziest thing. As I'm getting life-lighted from the location I had my accident, heading to the hospital, to South Dakota, I felt the peace of God. I had no new revelations. I had no idea what life was going to look like. I had no idea what was to come. I had zero new revelations. I knew nothing but the peace of God telling me that it was going to be okay. He said, you're going to be okay. I got you. I haven't forgotten about you. I haven't said, oops. Isn't it great? Like, one thing I was thinking about the other day is that we are made in God's image, but He is so much unlike us. He is not like us. What do I mean by that? Who lies to us the most? Who calls us the most names? Ourselves, right? If we had a person in our life that lied to us, called us the amount of names, just all the negative things that we often do to ourselves, we would probably be in jail. We would kill that person, right? Or fight them, something, because the Lord, what's so beautiful and amazing about our Lord, the things that we struggle with at times, He's never had to say, oops, what am I going to do? I don't have a plan for that. Should I do this or that? The Lord knows. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent, I'm omnipotent. He is all knowing, all being, and all powerful. And it is hard sometimes, everyone, when all you see is what you see. But that's what faith is. That's what faith requires. It requires us to say, despite what I see, despite what I feel, it is not going to dictate my theology and what I believe in my Lord, right? And who he, not only who he says he is, but who he says we are. The promises that he will not leave us, that he will not forsake us, that of course he did not design, didn't want us to commit sin and make poor choices and to be in the broken world, but he can use all the things that we face for our betterment, not only for us, because I've seen, and I've, through my last 2 years, that not only have I seen his goodness show up to me daily, but how he's used my circumstances to affect my family and my friends around me. My best friend called me when I was in the hospital, and he's got, he and I were catching up, we're doing this kind of exercise thing, and teary-eyed, I was like, hey man, you know, what's something that you've learned about me through this whole thing that I've gone through? And he was like, I was cutting the grass the other day. He lived in Austin, Texas. In Texas last year, it was like 120 degrees every single day. Glad I don't live there. But he was out there, and he's cutting his grass, and he's like, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. And then he thought about me. And he's like, Patrick Young would give every single thing he has to cut my grass every single day. And it's like, yeah, I sure would. In 120 degree weather, I would walk and cut your grass. I would cut your grass with scissors if I could, if that's what was required. And sometimes we're going to go through seasons where we may feel like we're a burden to others, where we can't give to others as much as we would like to, but that's why we're in community. Because we're not always going to be able to give. We're going to be in times where we need to receive and allow people to pour into our lives. Because I was so torn up when I got home from the hospital that I was excited, obviously, to be out of the hospital. But I was there for the next challenge, and the next challenge was difficult. I'm thinking about my parents, and my parents are older. They're 65 and 66. Retired, and I'm like, gosh, I just wish this would stop, this would end, so they could, like, they didn't imagine taking care of their 32-year-old son at retirement. But the thing is, I had no idea what the Lord is doing in their lives. Doesn't it feel good when we can serve somebody, not without the expectation of them giving us something back? My parents serving me pushed me to want to help them even more. It pushed me that because they were getting up early and doing all these things, I said, you know what? I'm in a very uncomfortable spot, but the only way for me to get through it is to go through it, to take this thing head on. And, oh, man. I would not have written things that happen in my book of life the way that they have. I'm sure there's a lot of things that each and every single one of us can say something along those lines too. But God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't. PR, do you have... Perfect timing.
They're going to grab me a chair.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to sit here next to you. Is that okay?
That's allowed. I'll allow it.
Well, thank you. I spent a lot of time up here. You know, I've had the opportunity to thank you, Pastor Andrew, to fellowship with you on a couple of occasions. The first was that, I don't even know if you remember this, when my son played basketball at Newberry High School and I was an assistant coach, you came and spoke at Newberry FCA. And I have a picture of us. I'm not putting it on the screen because I was much fatter. And I thought this little goatee thing was a cute thing and realized I had to grow the full beard to cover up all this. But the second time, I had great fellowship with you. And this wasn't long before the accident. I had the opportunity to perform Anthony DeRuggi and Lauren's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And you were there, and we spent some time talking. And it wasn't too much longer after that that you you had your accident. Yeah. And you don't know this, but you're part of the inspiration for my life. Because in September, after your accident, I decided it was time for me to get healthier physically. And there was this video of you strapped into your chair doing pull-ups.
Yeah.
And it was all over ESPN and SEC Network and all that. And man, I was messaging you during this time and just saying, man, I'm praying for you and all that. And you were so fast to respond and just so kind. And it was part of the inspiration for me to get healthier, man.
Wow.
And so let's talk. What was your faith like before the accident?
You know, I grew up in the church. Grew up in the church and knew a lot of scripture. Faith was kind of something. Church just seemed kind of something I just did versus living. And that it was just like I lived my life and I sprinkled some Jesus on it versus Jesus being the foundation and operating out of that spiritual lens. And it didn't help that, who's not awkward in middle school and high school trying to figure things out? I started getting good at basketball. So, you know, I really liked the recognition I was getting at that time. So that kind of trumped me really. Like I started fitting in with the audience and the things that came with being good at basketball. And it really wasn't until I came to college and I started walking alongside Kevin Sides, who's with Athletes in Action. And you know when you just meet someone and you're just like, wow, they are on fire, or like, my life does not look like theirs. That's exactly what I felt after spending some time with Kevin Sides, that I felt this conviction that things needed to change. And I was baptized in college at 21, and leading up to before the accident, I would say that my faith was a lot of times lukewarm, and I would allow myself to, I cared too much about what other people think versus caring, you know, having an audience of one and understanding that, you know, I have a creator who knows me better than anybody else. And I would say I was a little too casual versus where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about the frustration during your freshman year. You were not the only one frustrated during your freshman year.
That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not, but it is what it is, man.
That's 18.
Yeah, but you know what, man? From that moment on, one of the things, and my family will tell you this, because I'm a huge Gator basketball fan, and so when my son went to work for Gator basketball,
that'd be cool.
It was great, man, because I had season tickets and didn't have to pay for them. But man, you would just go all out, bro. You dove on the floor more than any big man I've ever seen. And how tall are you?
6'9".
6'9". And this cat would just sprawl out, going after every loose ball. It was crazy, man.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it was my sophomore year, Coach Donovan knew that our team was getting kind of frustrated with some guys that like to shoot the ball a lot more than they like to pass it. And the problem was not just that they were shooting a lot, they were missing a lot.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh man, well, I need the ball more, I want to score, I want to help the team. He gets a team manager to time the minutes to seconds that each player has the ball in their hands. And the point guard for our team was like 5 minutes, and you know, it goes drastically down. For me, it was like 40 seconds, if that. Why do I say that? Because the point of understanding how much you have the ball in your hand is the point that, okay, there's 30 more minutes left in the game. What else are you doing to help the team win? You don't have to only have the ball in your hand to find something to contribute to winning. So that was what changed things for me. And what Coach Donovan did a great job of, too, is like after, you know, delivering that message and teaching us that, he would show us in film things that we did and encourage us to say, hey, Patrick, because you did this, it opened this up for that person. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you're connecting and helping the team. And I just knew bringing energy, you can't control once you shoot the basketball if it goes in or out, but there's so much you can control. You can control your effort, and this is not just in sport, in life. Our effort, our attitude, our behavior, our thoughts, our responses, a big one that, you know, a lot of us might not want to admit to, the media that we consume. Mm-hmm. We can control that. I'm telling you, the things that you watch and listen to, they are implanting something in your soul. Is it uplifting you? Is it bringing you down? Is it pointing you towards Jesus? I'm not saying like everything, but just be aware of the things that you're listening to and watching. How are they affecting you? What are they saying? Just because the song sounds good, yeah. What are the lyrics? That stuff is very important.
So last year, right around Father's Day, you were supposed to be with us for Man Up. And you had to call me and cancel because things kind of took a downward spiral, yeah. As if it wasn't already bad.
Yeah.
What happened?
So last year, I was in the hospital for 128 days. This is post-car accident, so this is last year. This is 128 days. Gosh, it's a long time. Don't do that if you can. Like, just don't. I had an infection that took me down, and I wish, obviously, hindsight is 2020, that I would have went to the hospital sooner than I did, but I was there when I was there, and the Lord taught me a lot in that time, and I'm really glad that you brought it up. You know, the first thing the Lord taught me was that life is now. Life is where the Lord puts us in the platform that we have. I was so caught up because I wanted to be here last year. I wanted to be doing this. I wanted to be speaking. There were other opportunities and things that I wasn't able to do to be with my family. And the Lord convicted me and said, hold on, sir. Who created you? Who opens doors? Who closes doors? Is it not I? I'm like, yeah, Lord, you do. The Lord said, your platform is right where you are. In that hospital room, every single person that's walking in that room, can you be a light to the people there? Opportunity does not always look the way we want it to. Sometimes it is something that is so foreign to us. The only way I was able to find the strength in that moment was because he pointed that out to me. And I just the number of conversations I had with nurses and doctors talking about Jesus, I would have never like thought that was going to happen going into the hospital. Most people don't want to be there. Everyone doesn't want to be in the hospital. Yet, it was so worth being able to share my faith with those nurses and to be an encouragement and a light. And sometimes we're in seasons of life that we don't want to be in. But the Lord has a purpose behind each and every one. Maybe it's a season of waiting. Maybe it's a season of preparing. Maybe it's a season of enduring. Maybe it's a season where he's testing our faith, of giving, of who knows what that thing may be. Instead of just trying to get out of it, oh, man, I can't wait till this is over. I can't wait till the next season. I can't wait till the... Don't miss out on the beauty of the presence.
Wow.
We do. How many of us are like, oh, man, I wish I could go back and do that again. I wish I could go back to high school. Those were the glory days. another thing that the Lord really taught me and convicted me about, obviously when you're in a time of being in the hospital in one spot for a long time, you get a chance to be very introspective. think about, oh man, I could have been better at this, better at that. And I was thinking about my wife and my daughter, primarily my daughter. She's my stepdaughter, and I really wanted us to get closer. I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to do this great things with her, and I'm gonna take her to Disney, and I'm gonna take her to the moon, and all these crazy things. And I said, you know what's better? I'm gonna just ask her, baby girl, what can I do to be a better dad? And she's like, you could help me with my homework more, you can play Barbies with me more, and snuggle with me on the couch when we watch TV. Simple. Don't we get caught up in doing drastic things, especially when it comes to the new year, making resolutions, that it's so hard to maintain them because we make goals that aren't attainable. My daughter just said she wants my intentional time daily. I can do that. Craig Rochelle says this, every choice that we make is a vote towards the person that we want to become or don't want to become. Is a vote. Every choice we make is a vote towards the person we want to become or don't want to become. And usually there's no like huge drastic thing that we do that is going to last to help us become that person. It's the 1% consistent, like, hey, you know, I don't have an hour I can spend in the Word every morning. I got 10 minutes. All right, be consistent in those 10. Be consistent in those 10. Show up to that every day. Find what that thing is. You know, and the thing is about it, we don't need to listen to any more sermons, to learn any more information. Let's just start applying what we know.
Yeah.
Let's be consistent and apply what we have already learned and know, right?
Yeah.
We have so access to so much stuff, so much information. Can we just start and live? Can we just love God and love people?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can we just do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can do that.
We can do it. Man, I know we got to wrap this up.
I know.
But
I don't want to.
I don't either. And we got round two next service. So, on behalf of Gator Nation, thank you for all those years, man. You gave us a lot.
Yeah. It's crazy. 10 years. 10 years, it's crazy.
As a pastor, I want to say thank you for teaching us how to be content in all seasons and seeing the Lord's hand working in every aspect of life. If I can praise him in the good times, I've got to learn to praise him in the bad times.
Yeah.
And trust his sovereignty through all of that. And you're doing that.
Yeah.
And you're leading by example that way. So thank you so much.
Yeah. The last thing I want to leave you guys with, you know, what helped me so much when I was, you know, my big dream, my big goal, obviously, I want to walk one day. I believe that the Lord can do it. I believe he will do it. If he doesn't do it in this lifetime, I know in 2 Corinthians 5, it's talking about our bodies being renewed, the new bodies we're going to receive. So I made a decision. I said, even if the Lord does withhold something that I know he's capable of doing in this lifetime, I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to believe that he is good. I'm not going to say, what if he doesn't? Because then that's doubt, that's fear. Mm-hmm. That is me thinking, what if he doesn't? Does that mean he doesn't love me, that I'm not in right standing, that he is out of control, doesn't know what to do? And I bring that up because I think about Jesus. When Jesus knew what he had to do to give us the opportunity to receive eternal life, he never said, what if? Mm.
And we're believing with you, brother.
Yeah.
We are. We are praying for your healing.
Yes.
And when that day comes,
it will.
Just make me a promise. You're going to come back. Let me post you up on that court.
All right, let's
right
go.
Behind here. Man.
Yes, let's go.
Hey.
I'm about that. Let's do that. I love that. Absolutely. Man.
Church, stretch your hands this way.
No mercy, I'm blocking your shot.
Stretch your hands this way, let's pray. Father, thank you for this man of God. We know you have ordained every step, Lord. There is nothing that has caught you by surprise. Every pothole you had a God's eye view of. But God, I also know you see the other side of this. You see restoration. You see healing, Lord. You see wholeness. And Lord, we claim it in Jesus' name. Thank you for Patrick Young and the life that he lives, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. And these things we pray, all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.